This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Friday, November 23rd, 2012, special day after Thanksgiving edition. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's studio@sportstalknetwork.com. Hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. Three football games yesterday. Some pretty interesting stuff happened. Of course, you have to start in Detroit, where you saw one of the weirdest on-the-field, off-the-field plays that you will ever see in the NFL. But Houston goes into Detroit, the Lions with their season on the line. Frankly, they had a head coach who just lost his mind, couldn't keep his cool, overreacted, got mad. And the Texans come back, tie up the Lions in regulation, beat the Lions in overtime, Texans 34, Lions 31. And everyone, I think correctly, this is not a rookie or a second-year player in the NFL losing his mind, losing his cool. This is Jim Schwartz, who we know has a temper and has lost his cool before. You recall the 49er Lion game last year with this bizarre handshake between Harbaugh and Schwartz. And, I mean, it was embarrassing for both parties and very embarrassing for the NFL. But yesterday, this is even more ridiculous. I have an article up at sportstalknetwork.com entitled Jim Schwartz and the NFL Dumb and Dumber, because as dumb as I think Jim Schwartz was with what he did yesterday, and we'll get to it in a minute, the NFL is dumber for having such a rule. But here's what happened. It's the third quarter. The Lions are up 10, playing well, need this game to stay in the playoff hunt. They already have six losses before this game, so obviously you're close to being eliminated already. And Justin Forsett runs up the middle for Houston. Clearly is tackled. His knee is down. His elbow is down. But there's no whistle. He intelligently gets up and runs another 74 yards for an 81-yard touchdown. No whistle. Schwartz on the sidelines, according to Schwartz after the game, is so angry that he has the challenge flag out of his pocket before Forsett scores. And when Forsett scores, he throws the challenge flag. Now, you know, since last year, the NFL rule is every scoring play is reviewed. But what you didn't know is that if a coach throws the challenge flag on a scoring play, not only is it a 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, which is bad enough, but, you know, you can understand that, it also negates any review, which is beyond stupid. The purpose of NFL replay was just what? To get the call right. And in fact, originally, to get the call right in egregious mistakes, not this one-half-inch thing, did the ball hit the ground that you see now. But I think that's a good result. If you see that it's a close mistake as opposed to a blatant mistake, you still have to overturn it. So as a result, the officials on the field, and they're the real refs, they're not the fake refs, totally missed the call, that's true. But Schwartz lost his mind after the game. He said, I was mad and I overreacted, you think? And by doing that, he cost his team an easily reviewable reversal, cost his team a touchdown, cost his team a 10-point lead down to a 3-point lead. Now, did the Lions have opportunities to win the game? Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think it misses the point. When you look at this from a bigger picture, you know, this generation of NFL coaches coming in their 40s, you know, they grew up in a different world than people who grew up in the, frankly, in the 70s or before. And you now have this attitude, and, you know, Schwartz is one of those guys. He's got a temper. He's got attitude, as does Jim Harbaugh. That's why that handshake was a joke last year. But if he doesn't have the cool to keep his head, he's the coach. How can you expect Ndamukong Suh to pick one, to keep his head? Suh, two Thanksgivings in a row. Last Thanksgiving, he stomped a Green Bay player. Remember that? Got suspended two games. Yesterday, he kicked Matt Schaub in the groin. And the question is going to be, did he mean to do it or not? If he meant to do it, he's going to get suspended again. Now, he was blocked. He was down. but it certainly looked like he swung his leg towards Schaub and hit him right in the groin area. We'll have to see if there's anything there. But again, you're the leader of the team. If you lose your cool, if you get mad, if you overreact, if you can't keep it under control, how can you possibly expect your team to keep it under control? They must be laughing if you say anything about discipline, etc. So that allowed Houston to come within three. Houston would eventually tie up the game. They go into overtime, 31-31. Both kickers missed field goals. Hanson, Graham, both missed field goals. There were a couple of turnovers. But finally, Shane Graham kicks a 32-yarder in overtime to win the game. Houston 34, Lions 31. Lions now 4-7 have essentially knocked themselves. And I mean that. They knocked themselves out of the playoffs. Their coach essentially eliminated them from the playoffs. If they run the table and go 9-7, will they make it? Well, I guess there's a chance. In the mediocre football league, the Giants won the Super Bowl last year going 9-7. But the reality is when you get to six losses at this stage of the year, you really have to pretty much run the table, and now the Lions are at 7. Texans, of course, 10-1, best record in the AFC, or tied for the best record in football, I guess, depending on Sunday's outcome. But a big win for the Texans, a devastating loss for the Lions. Matt Schaub, 29 for 48 for only 185 yards, one touchdown, one pick. Arian Foster, you know, one of the top running backs in the league, 20 rushes for 102 yards, two touchdowns. Forsett off of that play goes five rushes for 87 yards, you know, 81 of them on a play that should have been a seven-yard gain. And he did have that touchdown, of course. What can you say about Andre Johnson? Nine receptions for 188 yards. It was the battle of the Johnsons and the wide receiver. Andre Johnson, nine for 188. For the Lions, Stafford, 31 for 63, 441 yards, two touchdowns, no pick, and one loss. And again, I think you blame the coach for the loss. Not a whole lot of rushing. Bell, five rushes for 47 yards and a TD. LeSure, 12 for 32 in a TD. Megatron, Calvin Johnson, eight receptions for 140 yards and a touchdown. Pettigrew, eight receptions for 74 yards. Broyles, six for 126. Obviously, they threw it around. Scheffler, five receptions for 57 yards. But it was not enough. And again, as dumb as Jim Schwartz is, I wrote that the NFL is dumber. The NFL is having an awfully bad year. From an integrity perspective, from a rules perspective, from an understanding what's going on perspective. First, they had the fiasco with the replacement refs. They tried to nickel and dime the real refs. It wasn't until calls on the field made them settle with the real refs. Just a disgrace. Then you have this yesterday with this absurd rule. Again, should it be a penalty? I guess you can argue you can give a coach a penalty when he throws the red flag when he shouldn't. But in no way, shape, or form should you change the outcome of a game on an obviously stupid call by penalizing the same coach not only 15 yards for throwing the red flag, but in addition then there's no review of what was one of the worst non-calls of the year. So, you know, a lot of people are saying now, oh, that should be changed next year. It should be changed next week. Wouldn't be the first time the NFL changed the rules or Major League Baseball has changed the rules. If not next week, then certainly for the playoffs. It just strikes me as one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. And again, if your goal of replay is to get the play right, you don't want to get the play wrong because a coach loses his mind and throws the challenge flag. What's the remedy for the Jim Schwartzes of the world, the coaches who can't keep their heads? I mean, look, if you got to question whether this guy should even be on the sidelines if he loses his cool. How can he expect his players to keep their cool? Maybe why, frankly, the Lions, that's why the Lions have a bad reputation as a cheap shot team. Sue, of course, has a terrible reputation. Schwartz didn't help himself with the Harbaugh thing. Now he's the laughing stock of the NFL today. But here's the answer. I mean, if you have a coach who acts like a 12-year-old, and the Lions do, I was so mad I overreacted, you got to hire a guy who knows football, who has a brain, who knows the rules, and who can keep his cool, and maybe that's a lot to ask, I don't know. But you need to hire that guy and give him the red flag. And if the coach has to throw the challenge flag, then he can hand it to the coach. And if you had a guy with a brain on the sidelines who had a red flag, and Jim Schwartz ran up to him and said, give me the red flag, give me the red flag, well, what would have happened? The guy would have said, scoring play, they're going to review it anyway. You're going to get a penalty and cost your team a touchdown if I give you the red flag. So it looks to me like you're going to need somebody else if you have Jim Schwartz on the sidelines. That's just the reality of it all. If you can't control your emotions as a coach, I'll say it again, how do you expect your players to control their emotions? So that was the big play in a weird game. Texans 34, Lions 31. And again, frankly, I think that just Jim Schwartz cost himself and his team the slim chance that they had to make the playoffs, because now they have seven losses. In another game, or at least what we thought was going to be a game, Patriots in New York to play the Jets. The Jets played the Patriots very tough up in Foxborough. And whatever you think of Rex Ryan, his history against the Patriots has been good in terms of playing close games, playing them tough, beating the Patriots once in a while. Yesterday, scoreless in the first quarter, but Mark Sanchez throws a bad interception. Mark Sanchez gets stripped of the ball. Tom Brady hits Welker for a touchdown pass in the second quarter. Nothing after one. The Jets had their opportunities. But he hits Welker with a touchdown pass to put him up 7-0. Then he hits Vereen on a little swing pass out of the backfield. And Vereen runs 83 yards down the left sideline untouched. This is all in the second quarter, 14-0. Just bizarre stuff going on the whole time. If you saw a kickoff to Joe McKnight, McKnight gets hit, fumbles the ball up in the air. Edelman catches it and runs it in for a touchdown. It's just unbelievable. The Patriots scored 35 points in the second quarter, including 21 points in 53 seconds. I wonder if that's an NFL record. I haven't heard anything, but my goodness, they scored three touchdowns in 53 seconds. And then the second quarter was capped off with Brady hitting Edelman for a 66-yard touchdown after Edelman had caught the McKnight fumble when McCarty had hit him and the ball came up in the air and fell right into Edelman's hands. So Edelman had two touchdowns in the first half, one on special teams, one at the end of a 66-yard play with Brady. So the Patriots scored 35 points in the second half. There was very little that the Jets could do. Sean Green fumbled in the second quarter. Steve Gregory picked it up and runs it back for a touchdown. I'm sorry, it wasn't on the Green fumble. It was on the Sanchez fumble. If you saw that play, they were making a big deal out of it. Sanchez ran into his own guy after Wilfork picked up his own guy and threw him back into Sanchez. Sanchez fumbled. Steve Gregory picked it up and ran it back for a touchdown. Sean Green had a big fumble. It was just a disaster. Five turnovers in all for the Jets. Patriots 49, Jets 19. Bill Belichick gets his 200th career win, including playoff games. He's eighth all-time. Patriots have scored 190 points in the last four games. And look, their defense is getting better. We've talked about this all year. I picked the 49ers over the Patriots before the season started in the Super Bowl. The analysis on the Patriots was their defense is going to get better as the year progresses. They have a very good seven. You know about the weaknesses in their secondary, but they've got guys in the secondary now making plays. Steve Gregory for one. When they get healthy, I think they're going to be better than average. And I think when Tom Brady's running your offense, if you have a better-than-average defense, well, I think that could be enough. Brady, workmanlike, 18 for 28, 323 yards, three touchdowns, no picks. Ridley, 21 carries for 97 yards. Vereen, 10 for 42. You know, they have a running attack now. The Patriots with a running attack is a scary situation. Welker, 7 catches for 71 yards. Vereen, 2 for 91, including that touchdown. Obviously, the swing pass, that was like a 7-yard pass. And then he ran untouched down the sidelines. Brandon Lloyd, 3 receptions for 26 yards. Mark Sanchez, this is the old, I had a good game on paper, 26 for 36, 301 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. But he got a lot of those yards when the game was over. Green, 14 rushes for 71 yards. Powell, 12 for 40. Curley, 7 catches for 86 yards. Dustin Keller, the good tight end, 5 for 64. And a touchdown. Cumberland, 4 for 58. But, you know, the Jets are a lost cause. Rex Ryan, after the game, I mean, he just looked shocked. You have to wonder how many more weeks of this he can take. You know, we're going to fight to the finish. We're going to fight to the finish. And while the Jets are another team with seven losses now, they're last in the AFC East. They thought they at least saved or at least prolonged their season by beating the Rams on Sunday. But then 4 days later, they get totally destroyed by the Patriots, 49-12. Jets 4-7. Patriots, who we talked about commanding this division, and again they're doing it. Patriots 8-3 and in complete command in the AFC East. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on sportstalknetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. sportstalknetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Good news, everyone. Lumber Liquidators wants to send you a free catalog of hardwood flooring options. Call 800-421-1346. See how you can buy the highest quality flooring for the lowest possible prices. Here's what some of our customers have to say.
I've installed a lot of hardwood floors, but this is the best bang for the buck.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
I love Lumber Liquidators. I got quality products for less, and the online ordering was easy.
At Lumber Liquidators, we buy direct from the mills, and we pass the savings on to you. Call right now and get the floor guide and catalog absolutely free. It has hundreds of top quality flooring such as solid hardwoods, laminates, bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a transferable 100-year warranty. Our catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to help you find the right floor for you. Call 800-421-1346 and get your free catalog. 800-421-1346. That's 800-421-1346.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese, Sunday nights at 8 p.m., only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Welcome back to the Steve Kallis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Kallis Show. There was one other game, important game, NFC East, Redskins on the road at Dallas, the traditional Dallas game. You probably know the stats. Tony Romo never lost on Thanksgiving, 5-0, blah, blah, blah. But they're up against RG3 now, and RG3 is just a different kind of quarterback. I mean, he is a leader. His teammates have already voted him as a captain, as a rookie. That's stunning stuff. Obviously, you got a sense of him last year as the Heisman winner. You know, he says all the right things. He does all the right things. He's an amazing athlete, not just a football player. So yesterday, the Redskins go down to Dallas, down 3-0 after the first quarter. They scored 28 unanswered in the second quarter. I mean, RG3 hitting a guy who might be as fast as RG3, Aldridge Robinson, for a 68-yard touchdown to put him up 7-3. Then Pierre Garçon over the middle catches a pass and outruns everybody 59 yards, 14-3. Santana Moss with a touchdown pass. touchdown catch, rather. So by halftime, it's 3-0 at the quarter. It's 28-3 Redskins at the half. Cowboys are shell-shocked, but as they do, and again, this is almost their pattern, they come from way back to almost get there. They come back to within 35-28. Dez Bryant with a beautiful 85-yard touchdown catch and run to cut it to 28-13, and then with an 11-yard, also great touchdown catch to cut it to 35-28 later in the game. But the defense could not stop RG3. He set him up for a field goal, which is all they needed, put him up 10 late in the game. Dallas, you know, kicks, not a meaningless field goal, but kicks a field goal. I don't know why they didn't kick it earlier. It seems to me when you've got like 40, 50 seconds left and you need a field goal and you need a touchdown, if you're within field goal range, you might as well kick the field goal and try an onside kick. But they didn't kick it till fourth down, so when they kicked it to make it 38-31, you know, they had like 20 seconds left in the game. They kicked an onside kick. D'Angelo Hall picked the ball up and ran it. Could have run it into the end zone. He fell down on the one-yard line for whatever reason. I don't know, maybe he didn't want to rub it in. Redskins 38, Cowboys 31. A big win for the Redskins, a bad loss for the Cowboys. You know, the Cowboys are terrible, 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 but they're 5-6. And if the Giants lose to the Packers Sunday, a distinct possibility, they'll only be a game out of the division lead. The Redskins will only be a game out of the division lead. Can the Giants turn it around after, frankly, two bad losses and now the bye week? They're playing Green Bay Sunday night. So interesting games coming up. But yesterday, Redskins 38, Cowboys 31. Griffin III, who looks to me like the most efficient passer in the NFL already, 20 for 29, 311 yards, four touchdowns, one pick. Morris, 24 rushes for 113 yards and a touchdown. Of course, that helps RG3. Of course, he has the ability to run as well. He really doesn't do it that much, but if he has to, he can. Six rushes for 29 yards yesterday. Garcon, five receptions for 93 yards and a touchdown. Morgan, five for 48 yards. Robinson with that one catch for 68 yards and a touchdown. And Paul with a 29-yard touchdown catch as well. Romo, see the pattern here, the guy who throws 60 times loses. Romo, 37 for 62 for 441, three touchdowns, two picks. And again, they just put themselves in such a hole. No running game at all. Felix Jones, six rushes for 14 yards. But receiving, Witten, nine for 74. Dez Bryant, eight for 145 yards and two TDs. Beasley, seven for 68. Harris, four for 71. Obviously, Tony Romo spreads it around. Jones out of the backfield, three for 47, including a touchdown. But again, people make the mistake of thinking you throw for 400 yards, you're doing a good thing, when it normally means you're losing. Stafford threw for 441 in a losing effort, although, again, they should have won that game. If you're throwing it up 60 times, it is not a good sign, and that's what happened to the Lions yesterday, and that's what happened to the Cowboys. And now the Giants on top, 6-4, Redskins and Cowboys 5-6. But, again, the Giants, who always seem to falter this time of year, they finished strong, though, have lost two in a row. We'll have to see if they're going to lose three in a row. Obviously, Green Bay, as hot as they come. So the Redskins and the Cowboys, not far behind the Giants, pending, you know, if the Giants can somehow beat the Packers, you know, then they have a two-game lead with six to go. That's a pretty good cushion. But if they don't, they have a one-game lead. And again, the Giants this time of year, this third quarter of the season, as they like to say, usually have a lot of difficulty. A few other things to talk about quickly. One other NFL note, Colin Kaepernick is going to start for the 49ers. He's been taking first-team snaps all week. The under-the-radar talk is it's not because Smith has a concussion. Kaepernick, who played great against the Bears when Smith did have a concussion, if he plays well this week. Now, they're down in New Orleans. The Saints don't have a good defense, but New Orleans obviously has come back a long way themselves. Maybe it'll be a shootout. If he plays well against the Saints in New Orleans, they're probably going to stay with him. And you hate to see a guy lose his job because of injury. It is not true that old, oh, you can't lose your job because of injury. That is not true. See when Tom Brady replaced Drew Bledsoe when Bledsoe got injured, and the rest is history, as they say. So Kaepernick, Colin Kaepernick will start. Alex Smith will be the backup, assuming he's cleared to play, which it was not clear yesterday anyway that he was cleared to play. One game in college football yesterday, TCU beats Texas in Texas 20-13. Texas just not as good as people thought. The big game tomorrow, obviously, Notre Dame on the road at USC, 8 o'clock Eastern on ABC. Now, there's no Matt Barkley. Everything points to Notre Dame, to me, having a miraculous 12-0 season. They have to beat USC with a freshman quarterback who has barely played at all. A few other interesting games. Michigan, Ohio State, you know, always a classic game. Ohio State not eligible for the bowls but undefeated. So this is their bowl game. Michigan, if they could beat Ohio State, an undefeated Ohio State team, anytime Michigan beats Ohio State, obviously that's a big deal. A few other rivalries. Top 10 rivalry, Florida at Florida State. Florida football relevant again. Florida number 4 at Florida State number 10. Obviously Florida would need a lot to happen but for them to get into the big game, but they're going to get into a BCS bowl. And one other great rivalry, Georgia Tech at Georgia. Obviously, Georgia hoping for something to happen to get them into the big game as well. Sad news now, Macho Camacho. We talked about this story on Wednesday. Looked like he was going to make it. He was in the car during a drive-by shooting. The guy in the car with him was killed. Camacho was shot in the jaw, went down into his shoulder, broke a few vertebrae. There initially was concerns about maybe paralysis, but they said he was critical but stable. Then the next morning, Wednesday morning, he had a heart attack, and now it looks like he's about to die. There's no other way to say it. Camacho, a four-time boxing champion, but he is clinically brain dead. Apparently, his family has decided to remove life support today. That has not happened yet, but apparently it's going to happen sometime today. Very sad ending for 50-year-old Hector Macho Camacho. There is one basketball tournament, obviously a ton of college basketball games. I did want to talk about one interesting basketball tournament, even though they were making fun of it on ESPN. It's called the Battle for Atlantis. It's playing in the Bahamas. I don't really care where it's being played or what it's a battle for, but there are some fascinating games this early in the season. Yesterday, Duke beat Minnesota 89-71 to make it into the finals. Curry had 25. Plumlee had 20. Into the Final Four, I should say, because it's a good Final Four. That's why I'm talking about it. Missouri, number 13, Missouri, beat Stanford 78-70. Bowers had 19, Pressey had 18 for Missouri. Number 2, Louisville, you know, Northern Iowa. Northern Iowa is a pretty good team. They usually make the tournament. Louisville struggled to beat them 51-46, but Louisville did get the job done. Smith had 16 for Louisville. Siva had a nightmare game for him, the point guard, only shooting 3 for 12. So we'll have to see. Siva only with one assist and 7 points, so that's probably the reason it was a game. But Louisville gets to the Final Four. And VCU, unranked, I should say, again, they always make some noise with Shaka Smart staying there as coach. VCU beats number 19 Memphis, also down there in the Bahamas, 78-65. So that sets up a Duke-VCU-Louisville-Missouri Final Four. I think that's a pretty good Final Four. I always give you one football game against the spread on Fridays, except for the week of Superstorm Sandy. But this week, I like the Steelers over the Browns. Cleveland, you know, I thought Cleveland was going to be better this year. They just find ways to lose. The Steelers just find ways to win. They played the Ravens even with Leftwich at quarterback. Now they're going to have Charlie Batch. But the Steelers are the Steelers are the Steelers. They're favored by one in Cleveland. So I'm going to go with the Steelers over the Browns. Minus one. TV today, again, a lot going on. The Final Four of that class of that tournament in the Bahamas I told you about is on NBC Sports Network, 7 o'clock Eastern, Duke VCU, 9:30 Eastern, Missouri Louisville. I mean, that's a very, if you're into college basketball, that's an interesting game. The other, the preseason NIT at Madison Square Garden, has an interesting final. The third-place game, Pittsburgh against Delaware, 2:30 on ESPN, 2:30 Eastern. The final, the NIT preseason final, the championship game, 5 o'clock Eastern on ESPN. Michigan against Kansas State in the Garden. Some football today, LSU at Arkansas, 2:30 Eastern on CBS. Washington at Washington State, 3:30 Eastern on Fox. Tonight, another great rivalry, Arizona State at Arizona, 10 o'clock Eastern on ESPN. Basketball, if you get the YES Network, the Clippers at the Nets. An interesting game if you're a New York guy at 8 o'clock Eastern, the Knicks in Houston to play the Rockets. That's on MSG, and obviously that's Jeremy Lin against the Knicks. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.